Tonight we're going to look at stage four of the six stages of loss. Now, stage four represents our surrender, the path to peace. Until you and I are ready and willing to surrender to Christ, to surrender, and I'm talking about a total surrender. You see, when we were searching through life, for life, when we saw Christ, we found out that he already knew we were searching and he had already found us. But through the difficult parts of life, which the majority of it is, have you ever thought about that? Now, how many bad days compared to how many good days? Now, here's the key, though. Don't forget it. It's not that there's more good days than there are bad days. It is that when it is good, it is so good that we don't remember those bad days. That's why one day when we enter heaven's gate, then each one of us will be able to see the glory of God and the perfection of love itself. Pick the greatest day that you can remember, if you can remember back to the greatest day. Pick the greatest days that we can remember, and as we do that, you know, don't you remember, at least there may have been one or two down through life somewhere where you felt good, everybody's well, everything's going great, and you're sitting there thinking, you know, why couldn't it just be like this all the time? And then all of a sudden tomorrow comes. And what you thought was so good a day before, you don't see everybody's yapping at each other and the whole bit. Okay. Heaven is a place to where all the best days you could ever imagine. It is so amazing in heaven that the scripture tells us that the problems we've had here on earth would not even come to mind, because the good times are going to be so good. Frankly, the good times down here on earth, we need to grab hold of and accept and appreciate, because not many of them come. And today we have one another. We're to appreciate one another in fellowship, because, folks, we don't know who's going to wake up tomorrow and who's not. We have no idea about what's around the curve. So we have right now. So why don't we, in the world, why doesn't the world appreciate what God has given? Because the majority of the world don't believe there is a God. You and I, dealing with the stages of loss itself, we struggle. We struggle through what we see as loss. Think about this also. What you and I see as loss, we need to understand that God will use to grow us in his love, and then for us to be able to come out of that loss, understanding that, you know, if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened. You remember those times? You know, you think all of a sudden everything is so bad, and then you think, tomorrow. I talk with young folk and encourage them in that way. What you think is so devastating today, when you see how God reworks it for your life, then you will think, you know, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have known this individual or that. Here's our review. In the six stages of loss, we dealt with number one was shock. That meant for us to cry out to God and let others help us. Cry out to God and let others help us. We get so hard-headed sometimes that we're just going to do it ourselves. And instead of falling down one flight of steps, we fall down two. If only we had allowed someone to be our crutch just for that period, and for us to be able to trust in order, which is very hard today, in order to let others help us. Have you ever noticed the distrust that we have for people? It doesn't matter who they are. There's always, my mother has never trusted anybody. She don't even trust herself half the time. It's the trust of factor. Well, you know, people will do anything. Then the next one was sorrow. After a loss, you had the shock, you had the sorrow. And here was the key for it. Go through it. Don't try to go around it. Go through the situation. Deal with the problem. Don't attempt to go around it. Too many folks think that if you, look, let's just bypass this problem and the problem be taken care of. No, it isn't. It is not taken care of that way. To bypass it, you deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it either going or coming. One or the other, you're going to have to deal with. Then we deal with the struggles. Appeal to God's nature on a struggle, meaning the loss of a loved one. Every one of us understand this because we've lived life. And what we do understand is that the struggles that we are going through are not uncommon to other families. That's why each of us can relate. But the struggles of life are so devastating to so many people. And the greatest number that are devastated by it, it doesn't mean that Christians don't hurt and we don't cry out and we're not in agony. But what it does mean, a Christian has hope. A person that does not have Christ can see no hope. There's no reason for tomorrow if the one they love so dear is gone today. There's no why I go through tomorrow. I don't need to do that. You know, and many that will give up on life. A Christian does not have the right to give up on life because we are called by God as individuals and our life is special to God, and our life by God, by God's power, is to be used every moment that we have breath in these bodies. Now, when you're dead, don't be talking. You know, I do laugh at death a lot, don't I? Yeah. Have you met people that don't know Christ? How many of them? Oh, gosh, honey, yes. And the yelling and gnashing of teeth and the crying out. And we Christians, if we're doing that, we're doing it because we know we're going to have to see them again. Especially us Baptists. Oh, we got to get them. Okay. So let's get into stage four. Stage four, surrender. Getting through what you're going through. One of the big faults that we have, and one of the dangers of life is that we are dealing with going through a situation and then you get stuck right in the middle of it. You know, when you're caught right in the middle, you're about to deal with it, you think, okay, I've got an answer for this situation. All of a sudden, you're right in the middle of that situation. The end is down there, and you're looking back to see if the beginning where you started, you can run back that way. Which one's the fastest to run to? Because then we give up hope. So we must surrender, and that's the only way you will get through it. Let me do, we're going to deal with David tonight, but look at Romans 15, verse 4. Everything. For those of you who are listening, there's only one everything. I just wanted us to pay attention to it. Everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope. Do you realize the stories that are in scripture? Sure you do. You read it. You realize the devastating stories and the conclusions of those lives and the failure and all of this. And yet, God tells us that everything written in the scripture was written to teach us. That will bring us to the attention of the problems in our life to remind us that it's nothing new under the sun. What is going on with us is going on with others. It's how you and I deal with that situation in our life as to whether or not we become winners. As a Christian, I'm automatically a winner. Well, when we get that in our heart and really, really hold it to the depth of how God has us, why are we afraid of anything? You look at death realizing there's no such thing to me or you as a Christian as only life. And now it's only going to get better. You know, after we go through several of these years when we're falling apart and everything's either broken or you can't remember which arm to use because you can't remember which one was hurt this morning. It gets that way, folks. So when you get to that time in your life, we understand something, that what lies ahead is going to be so tremendous compared to where I am right now. But where we are right now is exactly on the earth that God wants us on, and in the particular time period where God wants us. That's where we are. God doesn't make mistake. All of a sudden, okay, this group comes together. Vine Grove Baptist Church assembles together. That's not by accident. That is the act of God. So, surrendering to get through it, meaning, okay, here's where I am. Now I have to deal with it. So let's deal with it. Surrender to God that, Lord, here I am. Give me the direction. Here's King David's loss of his child. 2 Samuel 12, 16 through 19. If you will remember that King David saw Bathsheba, who was the wife of one of his most dedicated officers in battle, and he took her and he raped her. And as king, he had her and had her husband killed, along with approximately 325 other great soldiers. And David, because of his arrogance and because of his selfishness, killed so many innocents. She becomes pregnant, Bathsheba. And the baby dies. Now listen to 2 Samuel 12, 16 through 19. David begged God to spare the child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The leaders of the nation pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. Then on the seventh day, that's good preaching material there, Brother Randy. On the seventh day, the baby died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He was so broken up about the baby being sick, they said. What will he do to himself when we tell him the child is dead? What you're going to look at here is exactly what each of us think when we know there's a certain situation going on within family and all of this. And then as we're thinking about those situations, you will hear somebody, you'll see the family members or friends that get over and they start talking. And you notice they're whispering. Well, do they think that we are that far gone that we don't understand that if they're whispering, they're talking about us? So when David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the baby dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. Now, from this point, I want us to look at the six steps of surrender that David took and getting through what he was going through. I mean, he was broken to lose his child. And now let's look at step number one. Accept what cannot be changed. Normally during a death, normally during a tragedy of any type, you will always have people say, but if I had not asked them to go, if I had not got them to do this, if I had left a little sooner, had I left a little later, if only I'd have paid attention, this would never have happened. People start blaming themselves for the tragedy. Now, if a person is at fault for the tragedy, let them blame themselves. Accept it. But the majority of tragedies are events that take place. They're circumstantial events based on the circumstance of that situation. And in those events, who are you going to blame last? God? Many do, don't they? Why did God take them from me? Okay. Accept what cannot be changed. David asked, is the child dead? Yes. Can't you picture him down? Why didn't you all just come over here and tell me the kid was dead instead of standing over and whispering? But you got to remember, every situation in the scripture, what did the Lord tell us? Is written for us. We are to learn from each part of the scriptures, each story. This is our life here, folks. This is our life story, and God is telling us, and we're getting to look at it. That's why we need to study the Word. That's why we need to be in God's holy Word, because in His Word, we find hope for our life. There is nothing that's going to be so bad for us that God is not going to be ready and willing to lift us up and to turn what Satan meant for evil against us. God said, I'll turn it to my glory, and I will lift you up along with it. We have the hope of God's love. 2 Samuel 12, 22, 23. David said, except what cannot be changed. Okay, David wasn't neat. You heard that. Remember, none of this. Then they start questioning him why, but listen to it. Why all of a sudden is he getting cleaned up and doing all the other stuff? David said, I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I thought perhaps the Lord would be gracious and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? See, okay, here's the situation. You accept it. Deal with it. Surrender to God's love. You are not going to be able to work through that, folks. You're trying to say, where did I go wrong? Where did they go wrong? Where did it go wrong? What happened? You will drive yourself nuts focusing on that part of your life. And then you will get into the blame game. And if there's nobody close enough to you that you can take it out on, you'll go somewhere and take it out on some poor girl trying to check you out at a grocery store somewhere. Or through the fast food drive-through. Yeah, if you can get through that and hold your cool, especially when you get home and nothing is in the bag that you ordered. And that's when all of us, I know we do it, we said, thank you, Lord, and bless that girl that gave me the wrong order. Because we're Christians, and I'm sure we do that. Okay. Yes, my dear.
What gets me is when you're trying to consult someone, and you say, but it was God's will. And they say, oh, God wouldn't do this to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What makes them think they're any better than anybody?
Well, not only that, God says, I do not create evil. God is not the author of evil. Satan is. And anything that we see, or that Satan does, or that circumstances has a factor in our life, God says, look to me and surrender to me and we'll deal with it. But our problem is we have to know everything. Well, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why did you do this? And that's when we are reminded of the scripture about the tongue. What is it? A steel tongue makes a wise head. A steel tongue makes a wise head. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back? Okay, he got real. You got to remember, this is a man after God's own heart. David is a man after God's own heart. David did all sorts of bad stuff, including multi-murders, rapes, and all other things. But he was a man after God's own heart. David knew who God was, and his whole life was plagued with inward battles. His whole life, from being young, before he got into all of this kind of trouble, he was always running from someone trying to kill him. And God says, he's my man. You remember, don't kill God's men, God's people. Don't mess with God's people. One thing that I certainly warn everyone about is, do not go against Israel. And people like me are yelled at and everything else for making that statement. Hey, you don't mess with the people God tells you not to mess with. And God, if he wants to punish them, he does it. Okay. Number two, six steps of surrender. Remember, it's not the end of the story. You see, there's where we have trouble too. We think, oh, my life is over. Oh, it isn't over? You and I don't even, well, Estelle, you and I are such children. I mean, we're just mere infants in God's eyes, and we don't even know what greatness is yet, but we will soon. And so therefore, as we grow in age, we're growing closer to the true beginning of our life. You and I right now are dealing with life as you hear me say all the time, the boot camp. We're dealing with life down here, and God has prepared for us a place where we can be with him that is so wonderful that you and I can't even imagine it. You know why that God used the term gold for the streets? Because we can relate to gold. Can you relate to what God would call the most precious of jewels? We don't know what it is, but we can relate to gold. And we can relate to the jewels that he speaks of. He wants to talk to us, relate to us. Is it going to be gold? It is going to be such high, pure gold. It's God's gold. You got it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what'll be golden. Yeah, that'll be golden. Rest. And no relatives. All right. Lovell, yep. Lord, give me peace from my family. But it's not the end. 2 Samuel 12:23b, he finishes up and says, I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. He didn't say anything about his child now, him never seeing him again. He said, I will see him again. I'll go to him, but he cannot return to me. And yet we want to make everything reverse and we want a do-over. No, we don't. You don't want a do-over. When we get to do-overs, we do it worse the second time or the third time. No, we want to deal with life where we are. And God says, because the hope is not in this body. The hope for each of us is in who we are, that spirit. Number three, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. 2 Samuel 12, first part of verse 20. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. After 7 days, he was, it was the old English, surely he stinketh, wasn't it? Yes. So he got all cleaned up because he realized it's not over. Do you know, think of this, you and I, our life, who we are, will never be over. We are permanent. The real us on the inside, we are permanent. Because somewhere down in here, there's a real sweet person. And it takes a lifetime to pull that person out, doesn't it? Think of it. And when we get together in our shouting time in heaven and laughing and enjoying one another's personality, Remember, the person beside you is the only thing you can take to heaven, is a person, another human being. Everything else stays. We weren't too good with it anyway. It might as well stay, right? Number four, getting through what you're going through, refocus on God through worship. Remember this morning, I hope I told you that in worship, worship is action. Worship is, God sees us in worship. It's not listening to someone. Worship is doing God's work that he's called us to do. And we do it in love and care. We take care of those who can't take care of themselves. We get down in the ditch of life with those that continue to wallow there. 2 Samuel 12, second part of verse 20. Then he went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. Huh? Guess who's watching? All the leaders around him. How's the king going to act? He cleans himself up and he goes to church. And there, Psalm 73, 16 through 17. I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see until I went to the temple of God. Then I understood. We come and unite together out of brotherly love. We come, unite together because we care about our families, we care about our communities, we care about our nation, we care about the world. Therefore, where do you find wisdom to deal with all of that? We find the wisdom in the arms of God. Therefore, we will go to God's house and worship. He was hurting. He smelt better, but he was still hurting. Get the point on that? And he went to God. And he says, you know, I don't understand it, or didn't, until I got to God's house. God doesn't have to explain anything to us, but he does. Now, he doesn't explain it to us like, we say we'll have a friend that sits down and tells us, okay, this, and this is the way this works. He brings a peace to us on the inside. And you and I can't explain that peace to anybody else. He brings that peace to us on the inside. We know it's God. We know it's peace. And someone says, well, how did he do that? And you just smile. You haven't the slightest idea, but you know. How do you know you're saved? Because God said I was. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. No, they had a hard time convincing him. Don't, that's what this morning's message was. You know, be careful about judging your brother. Because that might be the brother that you're going to need to pray for you later, says God. Number five. This is a good one that we ought to really keep. Do something productive. Well, the preacher said do something. No, he didn't. He said do something productive. At most of the time, it's what gets us in trouble, doing something. But do something productive. 2 Samuel 12, third part. After that, he returned to the palace and ate. Fellowship. It was. It's obvious. Through the whole story, you can tell that, can't you? Yep. He went, he ate, well, he was ready to go. A good fellowship will do it, won't it? And here's your last one. Keep on loving, even in your pain. Keep on loving, even in your pain. Now, folks, we're living in perilous times, and we know that. And in reading the scripture, there are some folks that you stay away from. It's not that you're mad at them, hate them, or anything else, but you got to stay away from them. There are some people that you'll talk to somewhere, but you're not going to give them the key to your house. or you're not going to invite them home with you. Because God tells us to use reason in all that we do. But you got to love. You love the family that you have left. Okay, keep on loving even in your pain. 2 Samuel, hey, there's not a husband alive that's not a pain. Right? 2 Samuel 12:24. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon, the wisest of all. No common sense, but he was wise in the ways of God. Nobody has 300 wives, 700 wives, 300 concubines, or one of the, he was wise in the ways of God, but he was messed up in home life. And he was, if you'll read his story of all the wisdom and all, he's almost about as messed up as the rest of us. That's why God gives us these stories, to let us know all of the greats of the Bible have bit the dust so many times. All of them have. 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Here's what giving up your life means. It is an idea of, for my brothers and sisters. No, I had rather personally want to go over here and do this. But I know that where God's calling is, no, you do this in your own families. Personally, you would like to eat somewhere else. But you want, because you love your family, you want to keep that peace because we don't care where we eat. So we need to take God's word as keep on loving. To give up my life, your life. If you and I are called by God, are blessed to have such a calling by God, you give up the life of the world of corporate world or of making the money because there's something more important. The most important thing in our life is making friends and making disciples. You see, Christ calls them. Christ touches their life. You and I are to train them. You and I are to lift them up. We are to go to that new or young Christian and we're put our arms around them and tell them the truth instead of a lie that says now that you're a Christian, you got to dress this way, act this way, and say these things. How about letting God tell them how they're supposed to dress, how they're supposed to act? You don't know who God's called them to. And then when that young Christian, they're broken because someone stepped on them, on their pride and hurt their feelings. They're young. You and I, all of us in here, we're so old that we don't even have feelings anymore. And we, preachers aren't allowed. There's only one thing a preacher, I'm not allowed to have feelings and I'm not allowed to deal with pain. I know that. And the only thing that ever bothered me was, I'm not allowed to drive a red car. Now, I don't know where they got that, and I haven't found the scripture yet, so it's not going to surprise me that I'll have me a new red truck one of these days. you think of that. Other people letting you know this is what God says, how you should act, where you should eat, what you should do. Well, how do they know what God called me to do? God called me for prison ministry. To prepare me to be a pastor. That says a lot right there.